here's a story from The World.
Delegates at the United Nations Climate Conference in Egypt have been tackling a big question. Should they pledge to phase out the use of all fossil fuels? It's not clear yet if that goal will appear in the summit's final agreement. Many African countries might support the long-term aspirations. They also have shorter-term economic ambitions. For example, many governments on the continent are looking to take advantage of new fossil fuel possibilities in their own backyards. The World's Halima Gikandi recently traveled to Uganda in East Africa, where a new oil pipeline is in the works.
In the far ends of western Uganda, surrounded by lush green farms, is the city of Hoima. Recently, Hoima has come to be known as Uganda's oil city. 22-year-old Nicholas Ahebwa sells women's bags and jewelry at a market here.
It's called oil city because once upon a time, there is a mineral called oil, which was discovered in this region. Then when they were naming it, they had to name it Oil City because it is the only region which has oil.
Commercial quantities of oil were discovered in this part of Uganda back in 2006. The government says there are 6.5 billion barrels of oil under the ground, of which around 1.4 billion can be recovered. Now the Ugandan government is seeking to develop and refine that oil in partnership with Total, the French energy company, and a state-owned corporation from China. I ask Ahebwa if he thinks ordinary people here will see the benefits of any of that.
Yeah, people will benefit because as we say right now, we talk, even roads are being constructed, markets, that means people, employment will increase. People will benefit directly, others will benefit indirectly. Even people from outside Hoima will also benefit Uganda at large.
That's the hope, at least. The Ugandan government is banking on these prospects of employment and development as they promote this oil project. Gloria Sibikari is with the Petroleum Authority of Uganda, which regulates the oil and gas sector here.
One of the key benefits when we start production is the revenue that will come in. We estimate that the country will be earning close to $2 billion annually. This is a significant addition to our GDP.
She says that revenue can go towards building new infrastructure, like hospitals and schools. It will also help boost Uganda's energy security.
So Uganda plans to construct a 60,000 barrels per day refinery in Hoima to produce petroleum products like petrol, diesel, jet fuel, and the like to be consumed in the Ugandan market.
The plan is also to export oil abroad through a new pipeline called the East African Crude Oil Pipeline, or ECOP. It will run more than 890 miles from here in western Uganda to a port in neighboring Tanzania. Driving outside the city of Hoima, I see how this pipeline project is already transforming this part of the country. There are smooth new roads and a new international airport in the works, too. But the oil project has also brought concerns about the environmental and social costs that come with it. In September, the European Parliament adopted a resolution condemning what they called the human rights violations and environmental dangers connected with fossil fuel projects in Uganda. Here's what President Yoweri Museveni had to say about that.
Some of these people are insufferable. You need to control yourself not to explode. So shallow, so egocentric, so wrong.
This disagreement is emblematic of a bigger showdown taking place on the continent. Many African countries are seeking to benefit from their fossil fuel discoveries, from Senegal to Mozambique. Some say Western critics scolding African governments for these types of projects are hypocritical. Gloria Sibikari of the Petroleum Authority points out how Western countries are still investing in fossil fuels.
We are not seeing a global slowdown. On the contrary, countries are picking pace. And so this begs the question, why should the pressure to stop oil and gas or to delay projects be for projects in developing countries? Countries that have not yet reached a certain level of development, and given the fact that a lot of the developing countries developed on the back of the oil and gas and other natural resources.
Sebikare says it's only fair for Uganda and other African countries to benefit too. Besides, she says, the context is very different here. Most Ugandans don't have access to clean energy or even electricity to begin with, so they rely on burning charcoal and firewood instead, which leads to deforestation. Sebikare says that's the big driver of emissions here.
So if the oil and gas sector can support a bigger part of the population to transition away from the use of charcoal and wood fuel into use of gas, which is much cleaner than wood fuel, then we are contributing to the fight against climate change. We are reducing our emissions as a country.
Sebikare explains that cooking gas will be a byproduct of this oil project. Already, the Ministry of Energy has been giving canisters of cooking gas to poor families for free so they can transition away from using charcoal. 37-year-old Noe Kazo lives in Busabala on the outskirts of Kampala. Before this year, she had only used charcoal or firewood for cooking. Kazo shows me the small two-burner stove that was given to her by the government. It's attached to a gas cylinder that sits in the corner. The government told us we should stop using charcoal, Kazo tells me, because the smoke is bad for us and because it's damaging our environment. Kazo tells me that now she cooks using gas on a daily basis. She says it's more efficient, faster, and cleaner than using charcoal or firewood. I still use charcoal to cook traditional foods, Kazo tells me. They just taste better that way.
Which traditional foods?
Matoke.
Matoke,
okay. Matoke is like a starchy green banana that is a staple food here in Uganda. When I ask Kazo if she would buy gas with her own money in the future, she says yes, if it were cheaper. Ugandan government argues that investments in this new oil project will make energy more affordable for everyone and help with the country's energy transition. But for some Ugandans, this massive infrastructure project is doing more harm than good. We'll hear more about that tomorrow. For The World, I'm Halima Gakandi, Hoima, Uganda.